This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
There's an Elvis convention of some kind this summer coming to the convention center in Collinsville.
Really?
Yeah.
Can we broadcast from there?
I hope so.
That would be super fun.
I would love to know what an Elvis convention
when
is.
It's
happening at that Collinsville
convention.
What does
convention it sound center. Like? An Elvis convention.
It sounds like.
People
it's called
dressed
the,
up like Elvis, acting like Elvis,
it is
singing Elvis.
The Illinois Elvis Festival. Happens July 17th through the 19th.
We got to do this.
At the Gateway Convention
when
Center.
When I was 11, for a hot minute, I just loved the Elvis Christmas album, the Blue Christmas album.
Yeah.
I listened to that almost exclusively that Christmas.
I did a recording of that.
You sang it?
I did.
How did you do? Do you like it?
Was I
it
did, good? Actually. It was probably one of the better recordings I did. This was like a long time
you have
ago,
a deep voice.
Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah. Oh, you should come with us. We're going to broadcast live with Scott Jagow.
Yeah, I'll do it.
At the Elvis convention.
I'll dress as Elvis. I'll sing as Elvis.
Here's what it says. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, July 17th through the 19th. Join us for the third annual Illinois Elvis Festival in beautiful Collinsville.
We
just a short drive from St. Louis.
We have to do this.
Celebrate the king, Elvis Presley, with the largest Elvis festival in the north.
The north.
In the north. Is that where
no,
we are?
The north of what?
I don't know. Is there one in the south?
There's lots in the
probably
south.
Probably
in the north, though. That's
I don't know
what
if this is.
Are you cutting the country in half?
It's what it says, in the north.
If you are in Collinsville listening right now, we're not joking.
Yeah.
Our producer is going to reach out to you. You can reach out to us. We want to broadcast live from the Elvis convention in Collinsville, the largest Elvis convention in the north.
Six different stage productions of the king himself.
Well,
but not really, because he's dead. 3 days of Elvis-filled fun you sure don't want to miss.
Love this.
With the headliners, there are, 1, 2, 3, 4 ultimate Elvis champions who will be participating.
Elvis champions.
Ultimate Elvis champion.
Sorry. When I lived in L.A., I lived down the street in Hollywood from a Thai restaurant that had a Thai Elvis, and he was legendary. Legend, wait for it, dairy.
That's awesome.
Amazing.
The White Sox, they're famous. They have a bunch of theme nights. Their most well-known one is Elvis Night. They've been doing for years. So they will have Elvis impersonators all day. And then they will have the parachuting Elvis guys. They parachute at night and they're all lit up. The flying Elvises.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a whole spectacle.
I love it.
Scott Jagow was with us. It is Valentine's Day
it
today.
Is.
Yes.
February 14th.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a good Valentine's Day story to tell us?
I do want to tell this story because it was Valentine's Day Eve yesterday. And my...
Which is not a thing.
It is now. Okay. My lovely lady friend decided to do Valentine's Day Eve and that I would sort of be in charge of what she refers to as Valentine's Day Adam. Get it? Adam, Eve.
Wow.
That's not bad, right?
There you go.
Wow. So here's what she did. I just want to pay tribute to the romance of this, also sort of the clunkiness of it, and other things that I find amusing. So the first thing she did was she wanted to, for me to get in my car and there to be a song playing, right? Unfortunately, she couldn't figure out how to do this technologically because okay. we've gone way beyond the CD era.
Mm-hmm.
So that didn't work out. And I had to Spotify the song to listen to it.
Okay.
So you had to
Spotify
pull
the song.
Up the song.
Yeah, she told me what it was.
Yeah.
I had to Spotify it to listen to it.
Okay.
So that was the first thing that happened.
But you kind of made it feel organic once it started playing, right?
I did, yeah. I was like, man, it seems like this just came on automatically in my car. Then I get home and there's a card waiting for me. And it says... this is going to be a true test.
Oh, no. No, that would make me nervous.
A test?
A little bit of a test.
Oh, we're doing tests? Okay, go ahead.
Here's what happened.
Okay.
So I opened the card, and it played Rick Astley's Never Gonna Give.
Yeah, yeah. You got Rickrolled.
except that I really got Rickrolled because what happened was it played, and I was like, okay, well, you know, it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
No. When you close the card,
it doesn't stop.
It did not stop.
That's
yeah.
All right.
Incredible.
Then I kept smashing it. I kept trying to figure out how to stop it, and I couldn't stop it. And it was like 10 times. So I started ripping the card apart.
Can I guess what happened next?
Yeah, I bet you can.
Glitter fell out.
Glitter went everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
She got your ass.
She got me. So you have
Nailed
to
you.
Rip the thing open to get it to stop. Which I finally did, and then glitter was all over my kitchen.
Oh, no.
And I told her that I was going to kill her.
Yeah. Well, don't tell her that.
He was joking, folks.
It was a joke. She tells me that all the time.
That she's going to kill you?
Yeah.
That's not very nice.
It's a joke. Yeah. Anyway, so I learned.
You know, I hope she doesn't kill you.
No. Nobody's killing anyone, okay?
Seriously, Scott, what are we going to do at 11?
Yeah, man. If you die, then what?
We got to think of more
stuff
to talk about.
We got to bring in Stu.
You got nothing.
Because Scott has passed away. What she told me later, though,
I will divulge this. She said, I thought about having you open it at work so that someone could see it. And she specifically mentioned you two.
That's not nice.
That is so mean.
Dude, if glitter had...
No, she thought it would be funny. To you guys that would happen. But then she was like, well, then I didn't want to get glitter in the audio equipment.
That's right. That's
Can
right.
Can you imagine?
She didn't let that happen.
Well, things a break around here. That'd be horrible.
I know.
Yeah, oh, my God. Can you imagine if that actually happened yesterday
here?
Of all days?
Oh, dude.
When nothing was working? So let me continue. So she also...
Oh, the glitter. Wow, that's
she did more.
Criminal.
There's more. So she hid a card behind my license plate. At the back of my car.
Okay.
She let me know that it was there, and then I went, and it had a note to tell me where to go.
Uh-oh.
Unfortunately, I didn't remember this particular moment.
Oh.
No. She said, go to the Bitcoin vending machine, right?
There's
I was like,
Bitcoin
what are you talking
machine?
About? I finally figured it out, which we had gone there a couple months ago.
Okay.
So I go to the place where the vending machine is, and it doesn't work. Thankfully, I figured out it doesn't have to work because there is a card inside that vending machine, which she was kind of going to try to buy Bitcoin. She didn't realize that one Bitcoin is like $100,000. Right? So
this is starting to be like a Norm MacDonald joke.
Okay. So the machine was broken, but the lever, so I opened the lever, and inside was a card. And the card said to walk to a certain area and have dinner with me.
Oh, okay.
Which it was.
That was nice.
There was a lot of romantic.
That's really nice
going into it. I just thought it was funny that the some of the disconnections that went on, and she had purchased a nice dinner jacket for me, and she made a boutonniere.
Oh wow!
It was beautiful.
What a nice lady.
It was. It was really nice. So I just wanted to say,
I've met her, right? Or have I not? I
don't know. Oh, yeah, you have.
Yeah.
Yes, you have.
Nice lady.
Somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, why does a boutonniere sounds like a member of the French military?
That's what? A musketeer. No, I don't know.
That's a legionnaire.
Legionnaire.
Boutonniere's disease. When you're allergic to the flowers. You
get boutonniere, see, legionnaires, you get in a hotel. Boutonniere, you get in a motel. That's what that is. Boutonniere disease.
But wow, that's incredible. So wait, does the Bitcoin machine not work anymore because it's $100,000 per Bitcoin?
I don't know.
I didn't know there were Bitcoin machines.
I didn't either.
It was kind of funny. I went to the person nearby at a desk, and
man,
I asked them, is there one around here? And he said, yeah, I think it's over there, but I don't think it works. And I said, oh, it's over there. He goes, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
I don't care, man.
Man,
I'm not here to help you.
She really had you roaming St. Louis.
She
did have you roaming St. Louis.
That's very good. Very good.
Do you think she did that on purpose?
No, not really. But in maybe in the subconscious, she did.
Can I ask where you went to dinner? Or, you don't have to tell
me. I'm not going to tell that.
Oh.
I don't want to divulge that. But it was a nice place. We had a really lovely dinner, and I
was it illegal?
Yeah, was it illegal?
No.
Was it skanky?
Yeah.
It was definitely not. What are you talking about?
Well,
it was
a really nice where you went to dinner.
It was a really nice restaurant.
Fine. We went to.
I don't want everybody showing up next time I'm there. You know, I mean.
You want it to be a best
special,
kept secret?
Yeah, it's a special
thing. It's a special thing.
Will you tell us when the mics are off?
Yeah, I'll tell you.
Okay, cool.
The owner of the restaurant's like, please tell it. Say it.
No, say it.
I don't think they have any trouble drumming up business. It's a, you know, popular place.
Oh, well, then what are you worried about?
Does it rhyme with Rasta Mouse?
What?
What?
Pasta House?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay, no more Amy for the next 2 minutes.
Okay, talk to me.
Hey, you did roam St. Louis.
I did.
And you went to you went way the hell out west.
Well,
tell
it's
us
not
about
that
it.
Far. It's on 44.
It's so far.
Grace
it's not that
Summit.
Far.
It's so
just
far.
Just past Pacific, Grace Summit.
Yep.
The Shaw Nature Reserve, it is celebrating its 100th anniversary this year.
It's been around
just
100
as
years?
KMOX is.
Wow, that's right.
Beautiful.
Don't forget, Christmas Eve, KMOX, 100 years old.
Yeah.
However, it's the centennial for the Shaw Nature Reserve, which started in 1925 as a refuge for plants that were getting suffocated by all the pollution in the city. And that's not a joke. It really, that's how they started it. They bought up these parcels of farmland, and it was a way to save the plants. And then it grew from there to be what it is today, which is a, you know, they do photography classes. They have a wildflower exhibit. The Merrimack River runs right through it. There are hiking trails. It's a really cool place.
My friend got married there.
And
it
they
was
do
beautiful.
Events.
Beautiful. Yeah. Absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah. So it's a great spot.
You've hiked there, right, Matt?
Yeah.
Yeah, Matt likes it.
I'm a member of the Botanical Garden that gets you into the Shaw Nature Reserve too.
That's right.
Yeah. You feel like you're really out in the middle of nowhere. I love it.
It is. It is. And it's not that far.
No.
Of a drive from the city.
What's it take to get from downtown?
What, 30 minutes?
It's just
maybe
straight
a
shot down
maybe
44.
Maybe a little more. No way, no more than 40, that's for sure.
But isn't it just a straight shot?
It's right down 44.
Down Highway 44.
Get off the exit. It's right there.
Yeah.
So
I should give it a shot.
You should.
I can't picture you hiking with your jeans and your hat. I don't know why. You don't seem very outdoorsy.
Yeah, I wouldn't wear jeans and a hat, stupid. I would wear a hat, maybe.
To
but
be
not
honest,
you would definitely wear a hat.
Jeans and a hat is not the craziest thing to wear hiking.
I mean,
it's not that crazy.
Yeah, I guess it's not that bad. Depends on if it's cold.
It's not a long hike.
If you were an Elvis outfit, now that would
hell
be,
yeah.
You would stand out.
I'm into that.
At the Shaw Nature
I cannot
Reserve.
Wait. I cannot wait for the festival, the Elvis Festival in Collinsville this summer. It's going to be great. Scott, did you
chat with Stu Mac?
Well, no, this is what I wanted to do. There was a text message when we were talking about the Philadelphia Eagles Super Bowl parade.
Oh, yeah.
And you asked Amy if there were any problems today in Philly, like, you know, people getting arrested. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, But a texter let us know that, well, the Philly fans burned cars, looted stores, tore down streetlights after the game on Sunday. Yes, that did happen.
Yeah.
We forgot to mention it. So my question to you, Scott, mm-hmm. is if Buffalo ever wins a Super Bowl, do you think that will happen? Will there be looting and cars burning? How will they celebrate?
No. To be honest, Buffalonians are very, very nice people, and they would not do that for the most part. I think
it'll be tough.
Philadelphia fans have a reputation for this.
Honestly,
it's not surprising that they burned the town down after winning a Super Bowl.
It might be difficult for Buffalo Bills fans to burn cars because by the time they win, cars will be able to fly. And it's really hard to burn a flying car from the ground.
I have
you know?
A really good sense of humor about this. I did end up watching that stupid game.
You did?
Yeah. But I didn't care who won, even the Chiefs won, didn't care. But I did start caring when the Chiefs were getting demolished by 34 points.
Did you love it?
They didn't have any.
In what way?
I mean, I just, inside, it was just inside. I did not show one iota
of emotion. Well, how
did you feel? Yeah.
Inside, I was joyful.
Oh.
Like it was Christmas Eve and I was 9.
Schadenfreude, that's what they call it.
Yeah. See, you're like me.
And I sat there quietly and did not express it.
You do not subscribe to the idea that you want the team that beats your team to win it all so that you can say, at least we lost to the champ.
No.
I'm vindictive. I'm petty. I want the team that beats my team to lose badly in the next round, in any playoff.
Yeah.
No matter what.
But I was trying to keep myself from getting too invested in it, as I have in the past. I'm trying to evolve and grow here. And so I watched the game with almost like a dead inside feeling. Mm. And if the Chiefs had won, I'd been fine. If they had, you know, it had been a 3-point game, either way, I would have been fine. But once it started mounting into a blowout and Mahomes was throwing interceptions and just they couldn't do anything, that's when I started inside to get a little.
I wish it had been
happy.
Closer. I wish it had not been an absolute.
Because it was a boring.
Yeah. It was a, dude, Chiefs got trucked, absolutely trucked. Didn't think it was going to go that way.
No, but, nobody did.
Scott Jagow, so three good things, roaming St. Louis this weekend, Sunday.
Chat with Stu Mack, Ackerman,
Sunday morning.
Hancock and Kelly. Sunday morning, it runs from 6:30 to 9:30. It's a action-packed 3 hours you don't want to miss.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you.
Scott Jagow from the KMOX newsroom. Amy Marks Kors and Chris Ranji on KMOX.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app. or wherever you get your podcasts.
We feel that there are lies being pushed by outlets in this room. We are going to hold those lies accountable. And it is a fact that the body of water off the coast of Louisiana is called the Gulf of America. And I'm not sure why news outlets don't want to call it that, but that is what it is.
Well, you've been served, Amy. It's the Gulf of America.
Well, okay. And also the fact that she's just livid. It is a lie. Trump literally just decided unilaterally, I'm changing it from the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America, now acting like we're lying because we're calling it the Gulf of Mexico. No, it's always been the Gulf of Mexico. I'm calling it the Gulf of Mexico. The Gulf of America sounds like a joke.
So we were thinking
And when
about-
the next president joined, becomes president in 4 years, that president could change it back to Gulf of Mexico.
That would be, honestly, that would be my first order of business.
That would be my only order
of business.
As soon
as I got in, I'll be like, all right, I'm done.
Like, focus on things that matter. This is why the Republicans, listen, I'm a Republican, and you guys are making it really hard to not just feel so irritated with the stupidity and wasting time.
That's not
true,
Amy.
What a stupid, provocative waste of time. And for Caroline Leavitt to be like, you're saying lies by calling it. It's a fact. It's the Gulf of America. Get over yourself. Let's focus on things that matter. Oh, by the way, as long as it's Gulf of America, I don't care that egg prices are going up. That's the most important thing to me. I thought it was inflation. I thought it was Bidenomics. Nope, it's the Gulf of America. Listen, just focus. Oh my gosh. It is so hard when idiotic things, when the idiots are on your side.
No, that's
you know what
not
I mean?
True.
And I say side, just like historically Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm just not.
No, this text says that you are a raging liberal lunatic communist.
Oh my gosh, wait.
Actually, it does not say that.
It doesn't?
But, you know.
Because I actually make communist Valentine's Day cards, which we're going to get to.
Yeah, you mentioned.
I have a couple of communist Valentine's Day cards, and if you think I'm joking, I'm actually not. I send them every year to my brother. It's like
you
I don't
make them?
Well,
I saw what you sent me.
Yes, that's it. I made that.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
It's Photoshop.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
it's not like a physical card. It's a Photoshop like screenshot. I actually made it just by pulling Instagram images together, and I have like one with Trotsky and with Lenin. I'll get to it.
Hot to Trotsky.
So we were talking about this and how. Look, I'm sorry. The Gulf of America thing is very silly. It's just stupid.
Focus on what really matters.
I know an executive order doesn't take that long. You just sign it, whatever. But it's just a weird thing to want to do. I don't really
unnecessarily
get it.
Provocative and pointless.
Yeah, it's absolutely pointless. Like I know that people are upset about. Like Fort Bragg being called Fort Liberty. Was that what it was? It went to Fort Liberty, and now it's back to Fort Bragg.
But a different Bragg, allegedly.
Yeah, but like, why? Why? I mean, I understood why they wanted to change it in the first place, but just why? It's almost like you're trying to provoke people, like you said. Why do we want to provoke our own citizens? I don't get that idea. Okay. Anyway, so we were talking about the things that you...
That change names.
Right. And that you refuse to call them by their new name. And the first thing that came to mind for me was the Sears Tower.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You call it the Sears Tower.
Well, I don't do it, but people absolutely refuse to call it Willis Tower. It's been Willis Tower for like 10 years at least.
I don't like Willis Tower. Sears Tower is history. Sears Tower is what you grow up with.
I get it. And I get it, but for whatever reason, there was such a backlash to calling it Willis Tower.
Mm-hmm. I'm on that. I
guess I still call it Sears sometimes. I default back.
Willis Tower or like Sears Willis. I do that. I go now. It's a whole phrase for me. I thought you were going to say my first thing is Riverport. It's just so much easier to call it Riverport.
You know,
and I know we're giving away tickets to the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater, but
that's right. We are
people
today.
Still call it Riverport.
A lot of people still call it Riverport. I think the actual biggest example, well, nationally, it's probably Twitter. I'm not calling it X. It's
Twitter,
stupid. X is stupid because when somebody tweets something, what do you call that? Mm-hmm. An X? This guy had an X today. That's dumb. It's a tweet.
Today?
You know what a tweet means? I'm using tweet. So call it whatever you want. I'm calling it tweet because the other one is stupid.
Twitter.
But the fact that we still call I-64 out here Highway 40 is just so absurd to
me. I didn't know the 64 was even part of it until like 2 years ago.
They're the same road.
I know, but like it's Highway 40. No one from St. Louis calls it 6440 except for traffic people.
Nobody calls it 64.
Nobody calls it 64.
They
if you just call it
40.
If someone said take 64, I'd where's that? What's Highway 64?
Highway 64, man.
No,
it's interstate.
It's Highway 40.
I like calling it Highway 40. I probably always will.
Mm-hmm.
But it's actually an interstate now.
I called it the TWA Dome for a long time, even after we lost the team. Because it was the Edward Jones Dome after TWA.
See, I've been calling it Edward Jones.
Yeah.
And then I have to remind myself it's Dome at America Center.
Yeah.
I don't like that one.
I don't either.
It needs a renovation, but, and a cleaning, but the name's not good either.
A good vacuum.
Kiel Center.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
Kiel has been, it's the fourth thing now, right? So it was Kiel Center, then it was Savvis, Scott Trade, Enterprise.
Yeah.
And we were just talking about this in the office that we know people who still call it Savvis and Scott Trade. And it's been Enterprise for how long?
Oh,
15
10,
years?
10 years?
Oh, at least 10.
I think 10.
Is it 10?
Oh, I thought much newer than that.
Because it was Enterprise in 2016.
I moved back here.
So maybe it is 15.
Yeah, I moved back here in 17, and it was Enterprise by then. So we're going on close to 10 years.
I think.
2018.
But, 2018, not 2016. 2018.
Oh, really?
So it was Scott Trade up until 2018?
Yep.
No.
Hmm.
Scott Trade was the least catchy.
That
the
does
least
not feel
catchy.
That right.
2006 to 2018, Scott Trade Center.
What?
Savvis Flows. Savvis Center.
That was
Scott
only 6 years.
Trade.
That was less time than Scott Trade.
Yeah, that does not sound right.
And Kiel.
Well. Yeah.
Scott Trade had the longest run, 12 years.
It's the least catchy of all of them.
Text message here says we should call it the Gulf of Bears Suck. Why are the Bears catching strays from you? There's no reason for that.
But are you supportive of that initiative?
I don't hate it. Spring training is happening as we speak. The Cardinals are in Jupiter, Florida. A lot of position players already there. Pitchers and catchers reported and started working out officially this week. Position players and the full team workout will happen for the first time on Monday. So we go to the guest line this morning and we bring in Mike Claiborne, Cardinals broadcaster, and he is live from spring training in Jupiter, Florida. Claibs, what's up?
It's good. It's all good. Happy Valentine's Day to all those who are deserving of such a title. And some people aren't deserving of it.
What do you mean?
It's kind of like, were you good enough to be gauged in the eyes of Santa Claus on being worthy of being bestowed a nice Christmas gift.
So, Valentine's Day for you is not about whether or not you're dating someone.
It's whether or not you deserve it.
Whether or not you deserve it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, let's put it this way. Valentine's means a lot in different lights. You know, there are some people who they're good friends. Hey, you know, love you, whatever. And then there's others that, you know, that it's maybe more of a personal, intimate relationship. And then, you know, you wish all those ones who are deserving of a Valentine, in case they don't have one, let them know you're thinking about them.
Well, there you go.
Okay. I think he was taking a shot at me.
I think so, too.
Yeah,
I you know what? Your name didn't come through my mind until we started talking about this.
So,
and then all of a sudden, you mushroomed into the crux of the conversation.
Well,
man, this guy does nothing but mushroom. It's annoying. Yeah.
Kind of like warts. Kind of grows on you.
Okay. That's true.
Speaking of,
can't get rid of it. Don't want to do anything about it, but it's not that harmful.
Okay.
Claibs? So,
yes, sir.
We had the news this week of Alex Bregman going to Boston. So he signs that 3-year deal, which means that Nolan Arenado likely staying with the Cardinals for at least a while. Do you still, how much of a possibility, let's put it that way, do you see them making some sort of deal with Arenado and another team before the season starts?
Well, you know, it's a good question. And I think when we talked about this last week, I felt like once Bregman moved, there would be some movement on behalf of Nolan. And there still may be. I just don't know. And, you know, it's kind of a two-way street. While Nolan gets to pick where he wants to play, the team that he wants to go to has to make sure that they
make this deal good enough for the Cardinals to accept. You know, the Cardinals are trying to move some payroll. You know, you're going to have some teams that would say, well, you know, we'll just pay half of the salary. Well, what good is that? So the Cardinals have to make sure that they're in a position where they get something out of this as well, be it prospects, salary relief, things of that nature, in order to make the deal work. So both sides have something at stake here. And if it's not the deal for each side, then he'll be here. And, you know, that's not all bad. I mean, you know, guys won, what, 10 gold gloves? And from what I've heard, I have not seen him in the offseason, but people who have seen him said, man, he looks good. He's swinging the bat well. And so I'll take their word for it, you know, and we'll see what happens, because I'm sure if you ask him, and I'm sure he'll be asked next week, does he feel like he has something to prove, considering what a disappointment in his own eyes his season was last year?
I just hope he's in the best shape of his life, Klaibs.
Well, you know what? Apparently, everybody who comes to spring training is in the best shape of their life. At least that's what they tell us.
That's true.
And I will say this. There are some people who I've seen in spring training so far. Miles Mikolas is more cut up than what we've been accustomed to seeing. He was always in great shape, but he looks a little slimmer. Jordan Walker looks like he could have easily played for the Kansas City Chiefs last Sunday. I mean, he's bulked up, and he's just still growing. And, you know, some of the other guys look like they're in pretty good shape, but I'm sure they're seeing that in virtually every spring training. I mean, you don't see guys coming to camp out of shape. You don't see guys with the rubber suit on running in the outfield. You know, they've been preparing for this day and this time of the year for quite some time. So I don't think guys play themselves in the shape anymore. They're in pretty good shape already, hence the reason why when they hit the ground running when spring training starts, you know, you move on from things that, you know, 10, 20 years ago, you would work yourself into. In case in point, you know, for the hitters that are already here, they're already facing live pitching. You know, Miles Mikolas pitched today. We had Matthew Liberatore throwing yesterday. Dakobi Rowe threw today. So, you know, and they're facing hitters. I mean, they faced a crew of catchers, you know, today and yesterday. But, you know, this wouldn't have happened 10 years ago. They would have had a day or two where they would just have a bullpen and, you know, they would ease their way into it. That's not necessarily the case anymore.
Hey, Klaibs, Ali Marmol was singing the praises of Michael McGreevy and how much he has grown and developed as a player, really has a maturity about him. What role do you see him playing in the Cardinals lineup this year, or excuse me, rotation this year, if he's going to be there at all?
Well, you know, I think he should be here. See, the Cardinals, in some cases, are at a point where you have some players that have done all they can do in Memphis, okay? I mean, they've been there, they've honed their skill, and obviously you could say, well, you know, he could use a little bit more seasoning. And my answer would be to do what? I mean, at some point he's got to face big leaguers. And I think McGreevy fits in that category. You know, he finished strong last year, late in the year. And I think everybody would agree that they kind of like what they saw. Now, is he going to throw 98 miles an hour? Nope. But he's going to be on the ground a lot, much like Andre Pallante. So if it's me, and again, it's only me. You know, Ali is a lot smarter. He and Dusty Blake, they have tons more information than I do. I would do something. I would push him up in the rotation. I wouldn't have him be the fifth starter. I would let him be in between the first and third starters, or maybe the third and fifth starters. I'd like to move him up and just see how his stuff works. And if it doesn't work, you have options where you can either move him back or maybe you move him to the bullpen. But I think at some point, and this is the year of development for the Cardinals, you might as well see what these guys are going to be able to do when it really counts, when we really think we're going to be better today than we were yesterday. You might as well throw him in the fire and see what he's got.
So with that said, just trying to take a few steps back and look at the entire roster, and going back to Nolan Arenado, if we're trying to get younger people, you know, guys with less experience, more experience, wouldn't it be ultimately better off if they do find another home for an Arenado so they can do precisely that?
Yeah, no doubt. You know, I think Mo addressed it as the pink elephant in the room the other day. And, you know, Nolan Arenado hasn't done anything wrong. You know, it's not like there's bad blood or I can't wait to get out of here or anything like that. you know, I think it's a situation where, yeah, would he like to be on a team that probably on paper appears to be a more of a contender? But yeah, well, who doesn't? But also, you know, the organization is going through a transition where they'd like to reduce payroll and reinvest that money in other areas within the organization. So it's kind of like a perfect storm with regard to how this thing has come about. Now, the problem is, you know, I've been doing this for, I started 44 years on February 12th. I've never seen this before where both parties are like, yeah, okay, we can have a nice separation here. But, you know, with all that said, there's issues on Nolan Gorman. Nolan Gorman can't play third, then he's got to go to second. If he's got to go to second, then Donovan's got to go back to the outfield. Donovan goes to the outfield, and Nootbaar's got to contend for center field. So you see how this thing unfolds, and it really creates a logjam that I know both sides would like to address sooner than later.
Hey, Klaibs, you mentioned doing this for 44 years, and in your career covering the Cardinals, who was the manager that you felt was just the most straightforward, open to conversation that you would talk to, if there is one?
I don't think, you know what, I'm going to take a turn from Tony La Russa, tied for first, because each manager I've been around, starting with Whitey, all had something, a different attribute that I was able to learn from. Their method of communication was different. Their method of teaching the game and talking the game was different. And I've been very fortunate to be around all those guys, and you walk away a little smarter. And the same applies with Ollie Marmol. I think Ollie Marmol is one of the most engaging, one of the most knowledgeable guys I've been around in a long time. There's not an answer he won't be able to give you. Now, you may agree or disagree, but he's a well-thought person with regard to how he comes back with an answer. And he'll admit, hey, sometimes I don't get it right. You know, his thing is making sure he gets it right more than he gets it wrong. But I think all of them, and I think that says something about the Cardinal tradition. Now, granted, we've had two different ownerships. You know, you had the Brewery who owned it when Whitey was there, and then the DeWitts came in, and they've owned it, you know, since Tony, when Joe Torre was here for briefly, and then they moved on from there. But they've all had this tradition of doing it, and in my opinion, the right way. You know, when you look around, we haven't had that many managers over my tour of duty in the business compared to some other places where, you know, they change managers every 3 years. That hasn't been the case here. And, you know, we're talking about two guys who are in the Hall of Fame as managers. So I'm not sure there are many organizations that can say that over a 40-plus year period where they have two managers that are in baseball's Hall of Fame.
Mike Claiborne is with us in Klaibs this week. Both Jeff Passan and Jason Stark, two well-respected baseball writers, had done pieces where they had spoken to executives, front office people around the game. And in both of the pieces, they essentially, and I'm paraphrasing, said that executives are kind of surprised at the way the Cardinals have operated this offseason, and they have not done more to move on from players like Arenado, for example. What do you think when you hear those comments?
Well, I think, you know, Mo touched on it at the beginning of spring training. He said, you know, normally when he meets with the media, he's talking about the additions that they made and, you know, where they feel like they're going. He said, well, this will be a shorter press conference because we didn't make many additions. And, you know, we just want to see what we have. And it's different. It's the most unique situation I've been part of where an organization wants to call time out. And I think we need to be clear on this. They want to see more of what their younger players look like. And the one advantage that they have, whether it's Donovan or Gorman or Burleson or Herrera, players of that ilk, they've all been in the big leagues for, you know, a couple, 3 years in some cases. So they have a little bit of a head start compared to bringing everybody up from Memphis at the same time. And then we go through the growing pains of trying to understand what it's like to be in the big leagues for a full season. That's not necessarily the case here. You know, everybody we're talking about on this ball club has at least a year of experience, if not more, and the only ones who don't have, and Mason Winn is the youngest guy of that crew. And Mason Winn was maybe your best player last year. So you move on from him and you look at everyone else and you say, well, yeah, he was here last year and the year before. I think if you look at the bullpen and you look at your pitching, you can say, and we talked about McGreevy and some other guys we got a glimpse of last year, but at least they got a taste of what the big leagues is all about compared to saying, we're going to pluck this guy out of Memphis and just throw him in the fire. We watched that last year with Victor Scott, and it didn't turn out to be as successful as I'm sure Victor would like for it to have been. So, you know, you take a step back and you say, all right, give them a taste, let them know what it's like. So when they show up to spring training the following year, they'll have their feet under them more and understand what it takes to stay in the big leagues, not necessarily get to the big leagues.
Mike Claiborne, a week from tomorrow is the Cardinals' first spring training game, first spring training broadcast right here on KMOX. You'll be on it. We'll be listening, but we'll talk to you before that.
I can't wait. In the meantime, you guys, Amy, I know you'll have a great Valentine's Day and night.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, whatever. Good luck.
Yeah, thanks, pal.
It's just probably another day on the calendar for you.
Thanks, pal.
Well, like Claib said, it's to those who deserve it.
Yeah, I may not deserve it.
Yeah.
Well, that depends on who you're asking.
Yeah.
He doesn't have anybody to ask. That sister.
Oh, that's news here.
Claib's doesn't know about that.
Oh.
We'll tell you later, buddy. We have to go.
Can't wait to hear about it. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Claib.
See ya. That is Mike Claiborne with us. Yes, again, a week from tomorrow, Cardinals Marlins spring training baseball here on KMOX. Well, Amy Marks, Kors, and I, because we are interested in the price of eggs.
We're the voice of the people.
We're the voice
that's
of the people.
Why.
And there hasn't been enough talk. I don't think there's been enough coverage of it and how expensive a carton of eggs is these days, a dozen eggs.
And really just egg news, because did you know
there
some places are now rationing eggs.
So now Amy and I have decided for as long as it is necessary.
Just keep up with the news.
To bring you a new segment called The Egg Beat. Amy.
What?
As you mentioned.
Yeah.
There are multiple grocers in the St. Louis area that are limiting how much you can buy in terms of eggs.
Including Trader Joe's, Walmart, and Costco.
That's right.
Trader Joe's is limiting their ration of eggs to one dozen eggs per person per day.
That's a lot of eggs.
And I believe Costco and Walmart, it's two dozen eggs per person per day.
It feels generous. Yeah. Well, I think that's a lot of eggs. I don't know how you can go through that much. Whole Foods is also doing it.
They're allowing...
they are capping it to three cartons. Three cartons of eggs per customer per day.
Yeah, and I messed up. Costco is also in the three dozen eggs per person per day, which, to be honest, 36 eggs per person per day, I feel like, I mean, it's slim, but it's not nothing.
Slim pickings. That is, so the Whole Foods, cap is in the Central West End, Brentwood, and Town and Country. Kroger or Ruler Foods.
Yep.
If you have those, two dozen eggs per customer per day.
Yeah.
This is a lot of eggs.
I feel like a lot.
Why are we talking about like there are no eggs? There just isn't enough.
Whole Foods, three dozen eggs per person per day.
Who eats that much? Are people hoarding eggs?
I think that's what it is. But eggs, unlike toilet paper, spoil after a while.
Exactly right. So, folks, here's the story. You're limited on the amount of eggs you can buy if you go to Kroger, Ruler Foods, Whole Foods, Trader Joe's, Costco. So, listen, this is not the pandemic. You do not need to buy all of the toilet paper. Calm down. You're going to be fine.
And just limit yourself to three dozen eggs per person per day.
When we come back, Congressperson Wesley Bell. It's the first time we're going to get to talk to the congressman as a congressman. Wesley Bell will join the show on KMOX.